This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing another Landlord-Tenant Laws and Issues program. And for those of you who listen to the program live, I hope that you will be able to call in and ask a question. My guests are James Coy Driscoll. James, actually I call him Coy, is an attorney who represents tenants with law offices in San Francisco. My other guest is John Zanghi, a real estate attorney who represents landlords. He's a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Zanghi, Torres, and Arshavsky. Did I get it right?
You got it right.
Oh, boy,
yeah.
I'm getting better at that. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and also by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. So let's do this. I would like to, if you don't mind, let's take maybe 5 minutes or so. Recently, I received a complaint from a former tenant of a rather large complex where he was complaining he didn't get his security deposit back. He tried to work with the manager of the complex. Apparently, it sounds like the manager blew him off. In any event, what I'd like you to do, if you don't mind, let's take a few minutes and talk about what is it that a landlord should do in terms of if there is something that needs to be repaired, needs to be cleaned under California law, what is it that the landlord needs to do in terms of presenting to the former tenant, because now the tenant has moved out, I guess, whatever documentation there may be, so that the landlord can legitimately say, this is what we had to do, this is why I am subtracting this from your security deposit, and I'll give you the balance if there's any balance left. Why don't I start with you, John, since you primarily represent landlords?
Well, the way you're supposed to do it, and the way...
Please, if you would.
All our clients do it this way, is it really starts before the tenant has even left the apartment. Once the tenant gives notice that they're going to be moving out, the landlord needs to give tenant written notice of his right to a pre-move-out inspection.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of that inspection is to say, do a walkthrough and say, look, if that's not fixed, it's going to be a deduction. If that's not fixed, it's going to be a deduction. If you don't do that step, then automatically you can't really use the security deposit deduction procedure at all. So once you give notice, you do the pre-move-out inspection.
And the notice has to be in writing, does it not?
It has to be in writing.
Mm-hmm.
And once they've done that, the tenant can opt not to do the pre-move-out inspection.
Which is probably a mistake, is it not?
It would be a mistake. And then I'm sure sometimes, you know, if a tenant's belongings are still there, some of the things that might result in a deduction can't be seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best advice, I'm sure Coy probably tells his clients the same thing, take pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Take pictures on the way out, and take pictures when the place is completely vacant.
Mm-hmm. And take pictures when you move in.
Well, that too.
Yeah.
That too.
Yeah.
So, and then after that, of course, once the landlord starts making those deductions, basically he has to account for them. And at the time he gives that accounting of, you know, your deposit was in the amount of $1,500. I made a deduction of $300. He has to include the invoice or estimate or whatever it is that shows why that the deduction was made.
If the landlord then did not have, let's say, a professional business come in and do whatever it was, repainting or repairing whatever the damage may be or cleaning or whatever it is, but has someone on the landlord's staff do it, how does the landlord deal with that? Let's say it's an employee of the landlord who comes in to do, maybe it's painting. How does the landlord present that kind of documentation to the tenant?
I think you can do it through, you know, generally if it's a property management company, there's going to be a maintenance request of some kind. They do have a shop rate for, you know, what they pay, what their clients pay the property management company for their maintenance staff, and that's usually a pretty good marker for how much should be deducted.
So you need to put that in writing, do you not?
I think it should be.
And give that to the tenant? This is what the cost was in terms of the number of hours involved, the hourly rate involved, et cetera.
And it has to be reasonable.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
So ultimately, that's what it comes down to.
A few things I'd like to add to that. I agree with most of what John said. One of the things is when the landlord or the landlord's agent does the pre-move-out inspection, he or she has to, at that time, give the tenant a written statement of any items mm-hmm. that need to be repaired. Mm-hmm. Can't mm-hmm. be, I'll give it to you later, I'll send it to you in the mail. Has to be right then. Mm-hmm. And you can even have the landlord come in and do it while you're at work. You don't have to be there. Mm-hmm. But as John said, you can also decline to have it happen if you don't, for whatever reason, you don't want it. And the other thing is that the landlord has to return and or account for the entire security deposit within 21 days of mm-hmm. when you move out. Mm-hmm. And there's only a certain things that the deposit can be used for, basically rent and damage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
What about late fees?
I don't think so.
You said late fees?
Well, what if somebody has accrued late fees?
I don't think the statute provides for that.
Well, what if the lease says no, all other obligations, carrying all other obligations under the lease?
No, then I don't believe so, because then if there was some other, like a parking fine of some kind, they can't withhold for that. I think, you know, the landlord, if they think they have a contractual basis, can find their way to the local small claims court, but I don't think they can withhold it from the security deposit. And as Chuck and I were talking about before the show, when the three of us were talking, is that if the landlord in bad faith withholds mm-hmm. the security deposit or part of their, the judge, when they go to small claims court, can award up to a 2x penalty. So say it's $1,000, it's up to a penalty of $2,000 for a total of $3,000. Mm-hmm. So there's a real inspiration there for landlords to play fair.
In your practice, Coy, because you exclusively, as far as I recall, represent tenants, have you found that there's any kind of a significant percentage of landlords failing to properly comply with the security deposit law?
I think so. And like with most problems that I see, at least in my practice, which is mainly San Francisco, the landlords who get in trouble are people who are what I think of as small-time landlords. They have one, two, maybe three properties. They don't realize two things. One, that they are in business. When you rent out anything, whether it's a room in your house or an apartment that you own or a house, you're in the business of doing that. And second of all, in San Francisco, with its rent control ordinance, you're a heavily regulated industry. And quite frankly, the best thing that a landlord can do before they get in trouble is call somebody such as John and get some advice.
Yeah.
It'll be the best money you've ever spent.
I certainly think, in having done this program, it's now over 28 years, I really think that although it doesn't feel good to have to pay an attorney an hourly fee for legal advice, but my frank, you know, and of course I'm an attorney, I'm somewhat biased, of course, about this, but I'm also a consumer advocate. I think in the long run, it's money well spent if you are in the business.
Yeah,
I really do.
You know, if you're not going to hire an attorney, at least join like the Small Property Owners Association,
and get to learn what you can or cannot do.
Because at least you'll get the heads up that the law has changed on something. I mean, I think the security deposit law kind of took a lot of the moms and pops by surprise.
Oh yeah,
and you know, the penalty alone is staggering. Then the procedure is really basically a trap for the unwary. So.
And it's at Civil Code 1950.5, and I tried to read that thing. I actually did go to law school and pass the bar. I've been practicing for 20 years, and I look and go, what?
Okay. All right. It's our Call a Lawyer night. We have a number of attorneys here. I'll let you know who they are in a few minutes. But the number is 1-800-525-9917 if you want to talk to them. No obligation whatsoever. This is a great public service that they are performing. Most of the attorneys have been doing this now, some of them for years. They're incredibly gracious with their time and their expertise. We have workers' compensation law, criminal law, legal malpractice law, landlord-tenant law, patent law, aviation, lemon law, tax law, real estate, and I will, before the end of the program, I'll let you know how you can get in touch with Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law. He'll be available on Monday, October 1st. So I'll give you his phone number and tell you when he's available. If you'd like to talk to my guests on the air, it's 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues program. My guests are John Zanghi and James Coy Driscoll. They're both very, very experienced landlord-tenant attorneys. So if you do have a question, please join us. And we've got, let's say, Elaine. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there. Hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. The situation that I'm dealing
Elaine, stop for a moment. Do you have your radio on?
Yeah.
Because there's an echo. Can you turn your radio down?
Yeah, we're turning it down
yeah.
right now.
I mean, it's a nice echo, but we don't need the echo. So go ahead.
Okay. My mother owns a three-unit piece of property in San Francisco. And in one of the units, we rented a room out to a blind woman for $500 a month, no security deposit, no first and last. We were just trying to be nice to her. She lived there for about 2 years. And recently, she went through the San Francisco Building Department and made some complaints. And when we got the notice, we fixed everything. And one of them was the heater. She was with a social worker. Mm-hmm. One of them was that the heater in her room was not a gas heater, but it was we had an electric heater in there for her. And so we right away fixed the gas heater. That was about three or four months ago. And the inspector came and approved everything. In the meantime, now we're connected with the San Francisco Rent Board. We went to a mediation. We were told in the mediation that we owe her $50 deduction, $50 for each month for the 2 years that she lived there without a gas heater. We had no idea that this was the law, that you had to have a gas heater.
Although, if I may interrupt, Elaine, for a moment, although you did have for her an electric heater in the unit?
Yes.
And it worked?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Was that a portable electric heater?
Yes.
Okay, that's per se illegal.
Oh, it is.
And I got to tell you, you're getting whacked at 10%. You're lucky.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I would expect you to get whacked at least 25%.
Ooh.
I mean, you know, and the old adage that there's no, that ignorance of the law is no excuse, as I was saying a few minutes ago, that's why you should either talk to John or one of his colleagues, or as John suggested, landlord association.
Yeah, and then, you know, the other adage, no good deed shall go unpunished, but, you know, 10% deduction on the rent actually is fairly conservative for the rent board.
So we're talking about it's going to turn out about $1,200.
No, it's $2,000.
I thought you said she was there just for 2 years, though.
Yeah, 2 years. Year, $50 for each year. Mm-hmm. They said that it comes to a little more than $2,000.
That doesn't sound
so
right.
And also while she's there, mm-hmm. she was going to pay PG&E, and she never paid anything mm-hmm. on the PG&E. Can I take her to small claim court?
Well, I think Coy is probably wondering whether there was is this a separately metered unit?
No, she was just going to pay like half of the PG&E bill.
Do you have any of this in writing?
No, we never got it in writing.
Good luck.
Okay.
And also, from a real practical...
Does it matter to small claim court?
As a real practical matter, if she's blind and has to rent a room for $500 a month, let's say you magically have a judgment in your hand right now, how do you collect on it? Mm-hmm. You can't.
Yeah, good point. You know, Elaine, let me suggest this to you and for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would, and you live in San Francisco also, I presume?
No, I live in Oakland.
Oh, you live in Oakland, but your mom lives in San Francisco?
Yes, in the house.
You know, I think what would be wise under these circumstances, I think your mom needs to, and maybe with your help,
yeah.
Your mom needs to talk with an attorney who represents landlords, you know, maybe even for half an hour.
Sure.
And try to get some basic information, because this is something your mom's going to continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I think she needs some legal advice, because otherwise, here we are. You think you mentioned that the blind lady had lived there for 2 years. I calculated that would be $600 a year or $1,200. But you mentioned $2,000. I don't know where that came from. In any event, let me just suggest to you for your mom, I think she should contact the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service. Call them. I'm going to give you the phone number. Call them.
I already have it.
Oh, you do? Okay. All right. I think your mom needs to
listen to you guys all the time.
All right.
Can I just ask you this? Can I raise her rent?
Well, I suppose you can raise it to the...
This is John speaking, who represents landlords.
What's allowed under the ordinance, so you can certainly give her a rent increase now.
But let's do this, Elaine. I think what's really important, so your mom does not get in trouble... Please make an appointment to go and see at least your mom. Go and see an attorney who represents landlords for at least half an hour. It's going to cost $35.
Yeah.
It's money very well spent.
Right.
And prepare your questions ahead of time so that when you go there, you know, it's not one of these things where you're not quite sure what are the most important questions. Get the most out of the session. And I think that's what you need to do.
I will, but in the meantime, since you have a landlord attorney sitting right there, is it possible, and would it be okay for us to raise the rent according to what's allowed?
Well,
I think
we're just coming out of this mediation.
Here's what I want to do. My guests cannot give specific legal advice, Elaine, under the state bar's ethics, and I try to give this disclaimer. So and because I don't want you and your mom to avoid making an appointment.
No,
with
I'm
an
not
attorney.
Going to.
Okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you for calling.
Okay.
Good luck. Good luck.
Are you going to give John's number?
Pardon me?
Are you guys going to give John's number?
You want John's number?
Yes.
Sure. 415-977-0444.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I appreciate your show.
All right.
And I will put out a, you know, I'm not compensated for this, but I'll say on those occasions when I refer landlords to landlords' attorneys, it's John whose number I give them.
So there you are.
All right.
But I'm not guaranteeing that John is only going to charge $35 for half an hour. So all right, Elaine, take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Julie, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Right. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
So I'm in the Oakland area, and I am in the process of moving a family member out of an apartment. The landlord has been very friendly and very helpful. And so the question has come up. So in removing or getting my family member out of the apartment, who is sort of has some health issues. The apartment was kind of a mess, and so the rest of my family hired a professional carpet cleaner, and we hired a professional cleaning service, and I think the apartment looks in very good condition now. So the question I'm ultimately getting to is, what is normal wear and tear? What is the landlord's responsibility regarding absorbing some regular normal uses?
Mm-hmm.
The carpet was cleaned. It looks very good. There is a small, very pale kind of brown stain the size of maybe a large apple.
From what? From what would you say, Julie?
I think from food.
Oh, from food. Okay. There was no pet? There was no pet in the apartment?
No.
Okay. All right.
Well, there was for about a month. There was a cat, but it's not animal.
It's
related.
Not the cat. Okay.
It's in the dining room area. The dining room area, which is a small apartment. It's the same as the living room area, and that's carpeted.
What did you incur for the carpet cleaning and the cleaning service? How much?
$575.
Total. Okay. And the rent on the place was how much?
$1,600.
$1,600 a month. And the security deposit was how much?
The landlord currently has a first, last, and cleaning deposit. So he's holding about $4,750.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I know.
Some aggressive landlording.
Whoa. That's incredible. All right. Well, let me see if I can get some.
So let me just finish. So he's saying that because of the carpet was not new, it was in fine condition. I think it's in fine condition now. So he's saying Yes, the apartment looks good, but there's this pale stain. So
he wants, what he wants to do is replace the carpet and charge you for the carpet. Is that it?
Correct. $500.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Something like that.
All right. $500. What else does he want to charge you for?
So far, that's it. That's all it. He's identified. I don't know. We haven't gone through a...
All right. Is the apartment vacated now, or is it...
Yes.
It is. Okay. Well, let me get some... Go ahead.
How long did your relative live there?
7 months.
7 months. Okay. And do you have any idea how new the carpet was when the carpet was installed?
No, I don't. It didn't look terribly used, though.
Okay, I want to pause for just a moment, please. All right, it's our Call a Lawyer night. I want to give you the number again, 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. We'll get back to Julie in just a moment. Our attorneys who are here for Call a Lawyer, Alice O'Sullivan, workers' compensation law. Alice is a certified specialist in that area. Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. Peter Fortune, certified specialist in legal malpractice law. Monica Castillo, who does landlord-tenant law. Sal Timpano, who also does landlord-tenant law. Patent law, aviation, lemon law, BBB arbitration. Ron Rohde, if you have been listening the last couple of weeks, he's the guy who has the dog that barks on the CD, the burglary CD. And then Frank Adam, tax law and real estate. And on Monday, please put this down, on Monday, October 1st, Leon Baer will be available, not tomorrow, but on Monday, October 1st, he'll be available from 8:30 a.m. till noon. If you'd like to call him, no obligation whatsoever if you're being chased by creditors. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Again, that's Monday, October 1st. If you call and get a recording, leave your name and phone number, and Leon will call you back. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing landlord-tenant laws and issues. My guests are James Coy Driscoll and John Zanke, and we're getting back to Julie. All right, are we ready to go and try to respond to Julie's a couple of questions?
Well, I think Coy asked
one. This is John Zanke.
The one question I had was, how long was the tenancy? In seven months.
Okay.
When I hear that, there's not, with a short-term tenancy, the wear and tear on the unit should be fairly minimal.
Yeah.
And
the way I look at it is, you got to look at the entire reasonable commercial life of the carpet, which is most likely about 5 years, maybe a little longer. Mm-hmm. And then what you do is you got to prorate it. Mm-hmm. So if, in fact, it needs to be replaced, and let's say it's 5 years and 2 years have been already expended, then we're talking about you paying three-fifths of mm-hmm. replacing the carpet, mm-hmm. not the whole bit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That seems...
And where is the unit? What city, Julie?
Oakland.
It is Oakland. And that's not rent control over there.
Is it?
Yes. Oh, it is rent control.
Yes.
So this particular unit would be covered by rent control, we think?
Well, more than likely.
More than likely, okay. Julie, when you mentioned the amount that the landlord had gotten up front, $4,750, was that first last month's and then a security deposit or what?
Right.
Wow. So right now, the landlord, is the landlord only holding the security deposit as opposed to the last month's rent, I presume, has been used up with your relative having lived there in that last month?
Is
no.
That, no.
No.
Uh-uh.
Oh.
So, no. So he, again, the landlord, I think, is a nice person. The issue here is, so my sibling has some mental health issues, and because she was not functioning well in that unit,
yeah.
she was asked to leave.
Oh.
And so as a matter of that, the condition was that the family could take an extra month to clean the apartment and so forth. So in that regard, we really appreciate it. He required, however, full payment for this
yeah.
month that we're in. And so we complied with that, and now there hasn't been as of yet any negotiation. So it happened that I got this email today, and I thought, well, gee, you know, I heard that you're having this show tonight, so I thought I'd be opportunistic and say, well, gee, what do I need to know? Because I don't want to be unreasonable.
Yeah, Julie.
I don't, but I'm also required to be responsible.
Yeah, let me interrupt you for a moment. Where do you live?
Oakland.
You do also. You know, I think it's very important with the amount of money involved here. This is a significant amount of money. I don't know what portion of the $4,750 was related to the security deposit, but obviously a substantial amount when you're talking about $1,600 rent per month. I really think it would be worth your while if you contact the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. I do not have the phone number for that. And make an appointment to meet with an attorney who represents tenants and try to get some answers to questions before you start, let's say, the negotiation with a landlord, because you need to educate yourself to make sure that You don't, you know, jump off on the wrong foot. And Coy has something for you.
Last thought, you say your sister was asked to leave. I don't know what it was that precipitated that, but under the Americans with Disabilities Act and the its California counterpart, landlord or anyone else in business has to provide reasonable accommodations to people with disabilities, including mental disabilities. So in one of the things you might want to talk to a tenant's attorney about is whether she was given reasonable accommodations, and she may have a cause of action against the landlord if they didn't.
We have to move on, Julie. Good luck to you.
So I think you explained that if there's anything else I need to know about normal wear and tear, it sounds like the landlord does have some
Julie, you know, expectancy. Julie, I want you to contact the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service. You really must do it.
Okay,
believe
thank you so
much. It's going to cost $35, I believe. It's money very well spent. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, thanks for calling. All right, it's nearly 7:28 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. We're doing our regular Call a Lawyer night. I've got some attorneys here who are not on the phone, by the way, folks, and they want to be on the phone with you. And the number is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. If you have not done this before with the Call a Lawyer lawyers, it's no obligation on your part. It's a great public service that they are doing. They are very gracious with their time. Most of these people have done this now several years, and so take advantage of it. And if you're having a problem with creditors, Leon Baer, who's a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available this coming Monday, October 1st. Please note it down if you want to call him between 8:30 a.m. and noon. And his number, his 800 number, is 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. Let me also mention one other thing to you. By the way, if you want to talk to my guests on the air, and I'll tell you who they are again in just a moment, it's 1-415-841-4135. Next Wednesday is the first presidential debate, so we are not going to be able to do the program next Wednesday. Please note that. We will be back actually on the 10th, and I'll be doing a program with a certified specialist in tax law, and I think you might find it interesting. Robert Wood is a certified specialist through the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. We're going to be talking about the tax consequences of lawsuit settlements, such as employment cases, personal injury cases, investment losses, for example, even stock options, if you're so lucky that your employer is going to give you a stock option. And if you have other tax questions, I invite you to call in. But that's going to be October 10th, so keep that in mind, if you would. All right, let's do this. My guests are John Zanghi, who represents primarily landlords. He is a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Zanghi, Torres, and Arshosky. My other guest is James Coy Driscoll, who represents exclusively tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. I must say about James Coy Driscoll, he has been incredibly generous. I think, Coy, you've been doing this with me now for several years.
Well, I got the new headphones.
That's right. He gets his own set of headphones that on the left side has his name, Coy, C-O-Y, and on the other side it says Driscoll. I mean, it's really beautiful. You should see. And he's glowing now because of this headset. It's glowing. And someone who has been very gracious with his time, but more recently, is John Zanghi. This is John's second time here. Mm-hmm. And so I've got two really good guys who are very knowledgeable. So if you have some questions, join us, 1-415-841-4134. And because I expected we might have a lot of landlord-tenant questions, that's why we have Monica Castillo for landlord-tenant in the Call a Lawyer room, as well as Sal Timpano. And Sal has also been incredibly generous with his time, has been doing this over the last few years, both Call a Lawyer night as well as on the radio program with me. So, all right, Susan, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Hi.
I am a tenant in Oakland. I have lived in my apartment for 20 years.
Oh, you're the one, huh?
I am one. And my building was sold a year ago in August, and it was sold to a large San Francisco property management company. I don't know if that's important or not. However, my rent was raised, and they banked the rent.
What does that mean? What does that mean for the rest of us?
Well, that means that they take the consumer price index, the CPI, and if your rent hasn't been raised in a certain period of time, they are able to raise your rent. I believe it's either two or three times the current consumer price index rating. Mm-hmm. So I got smacked pretty hard.
Mm.
And since I'm a senior citizen, it really hurt. And I didn't mind it because it was all legal. The notification was legal, and which is something new. With the prior owners had never done that. So these people are paying by the books, and I appreciate that fact.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't appreciate the fact is that it's a 15-unit apartment building, and I know my neighbors very well, and I commiserate with them. During that time, when I said, isn't it awful we got our rent raised, no one else, there's only three other people in the 15-unit building that got their rent raised, and I am one of those three.
Why do you think you and two others got your rent increased?
Because we live on the third floor. The apartment building faces Lake Merritt. It's a fantastic view.
Ooh.
And I think they would like to vacate these apartments initially encourage us to leave. I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just found this out. I found it out in a fragmentary way. You know, when you run into your neighbors in the hallway, you say, oh, my God, rent was raised. Isn't it awful? And they go, your rent was raised? Mine wasn't.
Let me ask you to focus, though, on what is your question that you'd like them to respond to.
Is it a discriminatory action?
That's very interesting.
Possibly. I think it depends on who was targeted. Certainly if there were a cognizable group such as seniors or people of a certain ethnicity who were targeted, yes. If they were only targeting those people who had great views of Lake Merritt, most likely less likely to be discriminatory because you usually have to be in some sort of a protected class, whether it's race, gender, religion, for you to be subject to protection, especially from private activity. If somebody says, geez, I'm only going to raise the rents, they're going to say, if nothing else, hey, we didn't think the people who are staring at the trash compactor would pay the increase, but we figured you with a view of Lake Merritt would.
Right.
So, you know, more facts are needed.
How much, Susan, just so that we can, the rest of us can appreciate what happened, how much in terms of dollars from what the rent was per month and up to the point?
It went up $48.
Oh, went up $48.
Or 64, I'm sorry.
It went up $54.
Yeah.
Making a total monthly rent of what?
$894.
Okay. Do you have any comments on that, John?
Well, you've told us that they've done everything by the book that they've calculated?
Yeah, they did. It's all perfectly legal.
Well, you know, the numbers are what the numbers are.
Yeah. I'm just curious as to why only three people got their rent raised and nobody else did.
Well, let me ask you this, though, Susan. You're on the third floor, and that's mm-hmm. the top floor, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many units are on the top floor?
There's five units on each floor.
So, in other words, three of you on the third floor got charged this increased rent.
Right.
But two of the other tenants were not. Do you have any ideas why they were not?
I think one of them has been in the unit for just a little bit over a year. And
oh.
the owners have only
yeah.
owned the building.
Yeah.
They bought the building from August the 17th. And
yeah.
I just expected that everybody would get a rent raise.
Yeah, the siren is coming to get you, Susan,
sorry.
By the way.
Sorry.
No, you don't have to be sorry.
There's also no parking.
You know, I think as my both of my guests are saying, I think maybe there's not much you can do. I think in terms of, if you don't mind my saying this, because I, in my job as a deputy DA for San Mateo County, I'm very consumer-oriented. It sounds to me like you're doing, frankly, at a rent of $894 with a view of Lake Merritt, it sounds to me like you're doing awfully well, although...
Oh, I am. I'm doing, but I've also been here for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah, and that's why you are one of the people whose rent was increased like that, because
yeah.
you've had the benefit, probably, of a very decent rent for a long time. You know, again, as I have said to people, callers who have called earlier in the program, I think if you really have a, you know, continue to have a problem with this, I do think it's important for you to be able to sit down with an attorney, call the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and ask to have a half-hour appointment with an attorney who represents
tenants. And I will do that. In
yeah.
the meantime, I've had one brief appointment with the very nice people at the Oakland Rent mm-hmm. Board.
Uh-huh.
And they explained to me that the initial notice that my landlord gave to me wasn't quite right, but he needed to see my last increased rate letter
mm-hmm.
before the current one I got
mm-hmm.
to make a definitive determination on that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm to do that this week, but when
yeah.
your call came up, I called.
All right.
I just wonder if I should just call my landlords and say, why are you doing this?
Well, I don't see a problem with that.
Good. That's what I'm going to do.
What do you think, John?
I doubt you're going to get an answer.
You may. Now, John doesn't think you'll get an answer. Coy, do you think she'll get an answer? Or do you think
no.
that the phone will be...
No, any answer you get will be obtuse at best.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah.
Yeah. See, I'm always... I look to the better nature of people, and
yeah,
I don't practice...
Totally.
And Coy is saying, what's this guy saying?
next year?
Pardon me?
Can they bank my rent next year?
I want you, with all your questions, Susan,
you gotta
make an appointment with an attorney who
Thank
represents.
You.
Okay, good luck
Bye.
To you. Write all your questions down so that when you finally do get to see the attorney, you have a chance to talk about it. All right, this is Your Legal Rights. It's Call a Lawyer Night, 1-800-525-9917. 1-800-525-9917. Let me tell you who is here, because these attorneys have been, in the past, wonderfully generous. They're very generous again tonight to be with us. Again on Monday, by the way, October 1st. If you have a landlord, no, not landlord, if you have creditor problems, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available from 8:30 a.m. to noon. That's Monday, October 1st. His number, 1-800-477-3111. In the studio right now, the conference room, Frank Adam for tax law and real estate, Ron Rohde for patent law, aviation law, lemon law, BBB arbitration, Sal Timpano for landlord-tenant, Monica Castillo for landlord-tenant, Peter Fortune, legal malpractice law, Jeff Hayden, criminal law certified specialist, and Peter's also a certified specialist in legal malpractice law. And finally, last but certainly not least, Alice O'Sullivan, certified specialist in workers' compensation law, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar. And last week, my guest host on the program, who did an awfully nice job. Okay, 1-415-841-4134 to talk to my guests on the air for Call a Lawyer, 1-800-525-9917. Robert, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
I live in a Section 8 housing in San Francisco, and we have disability people. Some are mentally ill people. There are two persons in the building that are slandering other people, my neighbors, and very viciously and wrongly. And I was wondering, what can we do about such persons? Can they get evicted?
Well, this is John Zang.
This is John. Go ahead.
When you say they're slandering you, I mean, are they...
They're not slandering me, but my neighbors, and I've had encounters with them, too. But one woman, there was this person in another building that's part of a two-building complex around Thanksgiving. She wanted some cigarettes from him. He said, no, these are my last ones. So she starts slandering him, saying he molests little girls because he's gay and he... babysits people and takes care of dogs, and she slandered him, and the resident manager was there and said, if you say that ever again, I'll, you know, evict you. And then we have another lady on my building, and she slandered this guy down the hallway, saying he was in jail and he, you know, sexually with men and all this stuff, and he doesn't, and he's never been in prison. And I was wondering, what are some of the recourses tenants can do against other tenants?
Well, I mean, they have their civil remedies. I'm sure they could go and try to sue this person for slander, but I don't think that's really going to get them anywhere. I think the thing I would be curious about was you said that this is this housing for people with disabilities. Are there support services on site?
This is they have some. Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't know if they ever used them, but some of us just keep to ourselves. And they do have support services there. I didn't think of using them.
Well, I would make a suggestion to people who are being slandered to go down to support services. Maybe they can do a little intervention and find out why these people are spreading such vicious rumors. I mean,
but she's nuts.
Well, and that means that she might have a disability, and that way, between support services, either giving her referrals to somebody that can help her, making sure that she's... going where she needs to go, getting medical treatment or taking her meds in general, that might, you know, solve the problem. But it concerns me that when people
start... Very hard to do anything about these people.
It is. And when the biggest problem is going to be this ends up provoking somebody to do something that could actually end up costing them their housing.
Yeah.
So it's a problem. That's why I think you really should try to get support services involved if you can.
Yeah. Okay.
And Coy has some suggestions for you also, Robert.
The only follow-up would be to what John was saying about your civil remedies. Yeah, you could get a judgment for money against these people, but it's most likely useless because they have nothing you can go after. And possibly you could get an injunction, but there's a lot of legal issues that go with that. And I think John's remedy, if it works, is most likely the best. And, you know, sometimes you just got to, you know, ignore fools. And
well,
people know they're fools.
That's what I've been doing. I try to ignore. I've been ignoring her for about 5-6 years now.
Oh, my. Okay.
As best as I can.
Robert, we got to move on because we have some other people who have called.
Okay, thank you very much.
Try the support services or get the people to try the support services. It sounds like that's the next step that needs to be taken. Before we take our next call, let me just mention this. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KLW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own also during normal business hours, 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. The way it works, of course, is if you either work or reside in a particular county, that's the Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service you need to go to. If you're in some other county, contact your own county bar association during the normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone who's experienced in the area of law that you're having a problem with. They'll set up a half an hour consultation. And depending on the county, for half an hour, it could be a low of $25, could be a high of $35. Occasionally, in some counties, or at least one county, I know it's more than that. But mostly throughout the state, this is a very fine consumer service, so I hope you can take advantage of it. And while we're still doing Call a Lawyer Night, you have a chance to speak to, if you have landlord-tenant problems, our two landlord-tenant attorneys, Monica and Sal, and that number, 1-800-525-9917. And Bob, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi, fine. How are you?
I'm good. I have a probably not too unique of a situation. I'm in what I know to be an illegal unit, used to be a garage, converted to an apartment.
What city?
In San Leandro.
Uh-huh, okay.
And it's owned by my sister, and she gives me a reduced rent.
So I'd sue her, Bob, immediately if it's your sister. go ahead. I'm just joking, Bob. Go ahead.
Okay. But, well, that's not out of the question. You haven't heard my situation.
Okay.
My unit's an illegal unit, and I have several things that are broken, or I have a toilet that I know wasn't put in properly,
mm-hmm.
and it keeps getting plugged up and overflows.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me a plunger to keep working on the toilet, but I notified my sister, excuse me, 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. that I have a my sink is broken, my faucet's broken in my sink,
mm-hmm.
and I have a couple other problems, and she won't fix it, and
She will not fix it.
Well, I keep telling her, and she says, "Well, we'll get to it."
Are you paying rent, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay.
I pay rent, yeah.
How long you live there?
6 years.
6 years, okay. And so what you'd like to know, and you are now, San Leandro, I presume, doesn't have a rent ordinance, does it?
I'm not sure.
I doubt it. And so you're there on a month-to-month tenancy.
Yeah, I have no lease. They won't give me a lease. They never would.
Okay. How much do you pay per month for this illegal unit?
It's $575, including utilities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's literally, you know, the size of a garage. And
uh-huh. Well, it was a garage.
There's not enough windows in it.
Mm-hmm.
Not appropriate entrance sizes and all kinds of stuff.
Well, you're making a lot of complaints about it, but you're not so upset about it that you want to move out. Is that right? Huh?
I have a place to go if I do move out of here.
Hmm.
Disability.
You have a disability? Okay. Bob, we don't have an awful lot of time left. Let me get some comments from both of my guests. And if this is not good enough, you're welcome to call and speak to one of the attorneys, the landlord-tenant attorneys, off the air if you like. But let me do this. Let me, in light of this situation, since you said you're in an illegal unit, it's your sister who's the owner, you're paying $575 a month, which includes utilities.
And if I go to the city, which I could, they'll condemn the unit, saying it's an illegal unit.
They'll red flag it.
Force me out.
Yeah, okay. Let me get some comments for you. Turn your radio back up so that you can hear what my guests, Coy Driscoll and John Zanghi, have to say, okay?
Okay.
Thank you very much for calling. All right. Let me start with you, Coy, if you would.
I think Bob is correct that if he calls the city or the county, they'll come out and red tag it.
Yeah.
And he'll be looking for a new place to live from the perspective of the sidewalk.
Right.
I also think that, you know, if he wants, he can, since it's an illegal unit, the contract is per se illegal, mm-hmm. it's void, therefore he's entitled to get, you start with him getting his entire money back. Mm-hmm. I'd say since it's an oral contract, it would be
two years. 2 years, yeah.
Would most likely be the cap on that. Of course, your sister's going to argue that, you know, it provides you some shelter and is going to, you
know.
It was
worth something.
Yeah, it's worth something. Yeah. That's the basic argument. But I think the more crucial problem is that, you know, it's your sister, and even if you don't have a lot of affection for her, it sounds like she's trying to help you out. And yeah, since you say you have a disability, it may be something where, you know, you don't want to start a range war with her. You might want to go down to the hardware store and buy a faucet.
Well, that was kind of what I was thinking. I mean, is at least for the smaller things that need to be taken care of, I mean, you could repair and deduct. You've given her notice of the problem. Just do it in writing. Give her a reasonable amount of time to make the repair. If she doesn't, you deduct. You go ahead and do it. You deduct it from the rent.
Which is under California law, you're entitled to do that.
Yeah. Good thought.
So. Yeah, yeah, you're entitled to do that, Bob. And I think with the amount of rent that you're paying, I think, frankly, that's awfully low, although I realize you're saying this is a converted garage. But at the same time, it's a home that you've lived in, I think you said, for 6 years, and probably it's going to be very difficult for you to find something in that money range, rent range, that you could live in. So good luck to you again. Certainly, I think you're welcome to call our call lawyers, the landlord-tenant attorneys at 1-800-525-9917, and talk with them for a few minutes. If that still is not enough, I do think you need to contact, in your area, San Leandro is
Alameda
County. Again, you need to contact the Alameda County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service and set up an appointment. There are attorneys all over the county, and you'll find, I'm sure, someone who's relatively convenient to where you live. All right, let's do this. Let's talk with Mark. Mark, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi.
I live in Alameda, the city of Alameda, and I was a renter for a couple of years in an apartment. I had a really good relationship with my landlord. Everything was fine. It was a good apartment. Actually bought a house. So after I closed on the house, I gave notice to the landlord, 30-day notice, that I was going to move out, and he was fine with it. We also spent time, you know, we cleaned up. We spent $500 getting the apartment clean, spotless, professional cleaners. And I did damage a little piece of the floor, this plastic flooring that I damaged. I spilled some stuff on it and kind of damaged it. But the rest of the house is spotless. I think to fix the damage on the floor, it probably cost a couple $100 at the most. He was all sweet to us, and now we haven't heard from him. So he has our $2,000. He has like about $1,500 in our security deposit, and he has another like about $500 worth of prorated rent because we gave notice in the middle of the month. And he doesn't return my phone calls.
Are you out of the unit, Mark, at this point?
Yeah.
You are.
So we've been out for almost 6 months.
Yeah. And so the landlord has not returned any of your security deposit at all?
Yeah, $1,600 for the security deposit and $500 of prorated
Okay,
rent.
Now let me ask you a question. Had your landlord supplied you with any kind of bills or invoices or anything in writing showing you that the landlord blamed you for certain problems and has had to pay to have certain things fixed? Has he done anything like that?
No.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Let me get Coy to respond.
Go small claims court, sue him for the amount that he's withheld times three, figuring that two times penalty that we talked before. You can have the clerk try to serve him by certified mail, or anybody who's over 18 who's not a party, which means not him, not you, can serve him. He has to be served in California. And then once you get the judgment, you start to sell his house.
You know, Mark,
if he's that stupid to not pay it.
There are a couple of things going for you here. One is, as I've mentioned a couple of times during the program, you can get some basic legal information and some direction by going to the Lawyer Referral Service of the Alameda County Bar Association. Also, however, if you want to bring a small claims action, the Small Claims Court for Alameda County also has a small claims advisor. I don't know who this person is, but usually the small claims advisor is an attorney. You can get some really excellent information by going to one of the either afternoons or evenings when the small claims advisor is available for you to talk with before you even file a small claims action. So you've got an awful lot going for you, but you got to do some homework.
Yeah, that's fine, and I appreciate that's good. That's what I was planning on doing. I didn't know about the I was planning on doing a small claims court thing.
Yeah.
I didn't know about the two times penalty.
Oh yeah,
which is great.
Oh yeah, and, that's great.
It is good. I actually prefer to work with him and tell him. I mean,
well, yeah, but you but say, you've got 6 months right now. That's a lot of you got. Yeah, it doesn't sound like working with him has worked very well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
I'm just concerned that he might overreact. Actually, I think I know he's in financial difficulty because I've seen his name on a couple of foreclosures in Alameda.
Uh-oh.
So
is this place where you were living? Is it in with foreclosure?
No, it's not.
All right. Okay, well, he may be having very significant problems, and that is what's the problem here. But you have not communicated with him at all in the 6 months?
Oh, I have. I call him every other week, leave a message. He's only answered my phone call once, and the time he mentioned to me was that he had to get an estimate for to fix the floor and also figure out the water bill.
Yeah.
And then I've sent him basically three emails, which have not been responded to. So I'll probably try to communicate him three times an email, and again, whatever it is, you know, probably about over 15 times via phone.
Well, you made your efforts. John, do you have any thoughts here for me?
I'm not going to say a word. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I'll just stick by what I said. And other resource for small claims court is there's a book publisher called Nolo.
Yes.
It used to be Nolo Press.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're at Nolo, NOLO.com.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have a wonderful book on California Small Claims Court.
Yeah.
And it costs $30 or $40, and it's worth every penny.
And you don't even have to go and buy it. You can go into your local public library, the consumer section, and it should be there. And you can sit down and start reading it. Mark, we got to move on. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. By the way, I want to mention also something to you on Thursday, October 11th, because we are not doing a program, as you know, next week, October 3rd. But on Thursday, October 11th, at the San Mateo County Law Library in Redwood City, Matthew O'Donnell, a certified specialist in trusts and estates, we'll be doing a program on Medi-Cal eligibility. So if you have issues involving Medi-Cal, he will be there October 11th, Thursday at noon. It's free. It's a great service that the Law Library provides. It's at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City. And so if you're interested in that, I suggest you look into it further. The number there is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913 for the San Mateo County Law Library. We have come to the end of the program. Gentlemen, it's wonderful to have had you here.
Well, thanks for having me.
James Corey Driscoll, whose office is in San Francisco, represents tenants, and John Zanghi, whose law firm is also in San Francisco, Zanghi, Torres, and Arshowski, who represents landlords. Thank you both very much. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. Additional funding is provided by the Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. And I hope you've enjoyed the program and gotten something out of it. And I look forward to seeing you next time. I'm Chuck Finney.